This year we celebrate 65 years as a parish. We were established July 1st, 1950, and so to this past July 1st in the summer, we celebrated 65 years of establishment. And this Christmas, this coming Christmas, we will celebrate 65 years of being on this campus, the first Mass being celebrated in two of the classrooms over here in our North School building on Christmas of 1950. Our school buildings were built in 1950, and many of you have been part of keeping them up and bringing them up to date over the years. We recently finished as a parish our master plan to identify the needs of our parish facilities, both present and future. And we were doing some research a couple weeks ago over just what we've done in the last 5 years as a parish, and you have a lot to be proud of. I totaled up the number of capital improvements over just the last 5 years, and even I was shocked by the number. It was $750,000. $750,000 done in improvements to our campus over the last 5 years. Another $120,000 over the last 5 years in maintenance. All of that done, with the exception of our little boiler fundraiser for $80,000, all of that done under our normal budget, our normal year, with only our regular, you know, fall and spring fundraisers. So congratulations on all that you have done to keep up your parish. Our master plan identified three phases that we are going to implement. Number one is phase one, the renovation and updating of our school and parish facilities, just to simply bring them up to where they need to be. Phase two, to add a gathering space and offices to connect our facility together. And then many years down the line of phase three, to build a new school once this one has is not able to serve our needs anymore. Immediately, we have a heating and air project in our school that we must attend to. We have an air handler over in the gym that dates to 1961. And God bless the gentleman from our parish who went over there and welded back on the flywheel so we could keep it going a little bit longer. But it is dead now. We have not had heat in our gym for, this will be the third winter. And we have a need to address these issues, as well as our classroom units that are failing. This project is about $500,000, and it's time for us to participate more directly in keeping up our facility. This decision to do this does not come lightly, and I met with this summer with our parish leadership, and they voted to support this project through a one-year capital campaign. Now, you may be wondering, as I was wondering yesterday as I was preparing for this homily, why are we talking about finances when we could be talking about Jesus? Well, because they are one and the same. Jesus, too, talked about finances. And if you come to church thinking that that is a part of our life that doesn't belong to Jesus, that is where you are sorely wrong. You see, the way we approach the physical needs, whether it be in our own lives or in our parish, they can and they will impact our relationship with God, because God relates to us on every level. Mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, even financial. I've heard people say things before like the church talks about money too much. Some do, but we don't here at Christ the King. We talk about it about once a year, and I'll keep you guys informed if we're having problems. That's it. But the reality is that Jesus did talk about it, and he talked about stewardship and fulfilling the needs of the community. And this does have an impact on our spiritual lives, and we see this reflected in our gospel today, in the way two men handle what they have and what they give. Number one is this rich young man who runs up to Jesus and says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you know, what have you been taught? Wants to find out what he already knows. And he goes through and Jesus lists the commandments to him. And he says, well, I've obeyed all of those since I was a youth. The Ten Commandments, right? Jesus approximates them. Doing what is required of us. And that's the first step. That's why Jesus doesn't first ask him to give up everything. He says, are you at least obeying the commandments? Are you at least doing what is required of you? And brothers and sisters, when we approach financial needs, that's the first thing we must ask ourselves. Are we doing what is required of us? For some of you, you're still struggling to tithe. You haven't fully trusted God to even do that. For some of us, we're doing more than our fair share of tithing to support this community. And it's wonderful how God supplies the needs when we trust Him. But we must first do what is required of us. Notice then what Jesus does with this rich young man. He says, you lack one thing. Only one thing. That'd be pretty good, right? If you only lacked one thing to get into heaven. I'm thinking of quite a few things. And he said, take what you have, sell it, give to the poor, and then come and follow me. He asks him to make a total sacrifice of himself. A total sacrificial gift. We are called to do the same. And notice what Jesus says he will receive in reward. He says, you will store up treasure in heaven by giving away what you have. I think we see this directly impacted through our parish brothers and sisters. I'm thinking as we celebrate 65 years here, how many thousands of souls has gone through the various churches we have? Whether it be our first church over down here on Maple, the first quote-unquote church we had, our cafeteria, our gymnasium, and now this church built in 1968, dedicated in 1969. How many thousands of souls heard the Word of God preached in those churches? And how many of them still come back to the church today because of that? And I do see evidence of that very routinely. I will get calls as the pastor of Christ the King saying, Father, can you come to the house? My father's sick or something. And I'll go there and I'll ask him, you know, I'll usually check to see if, you know, if I don't recognize the name, I'll see if they're in the parish register, and they're not, and that's okay, I'll still go. But I'll ask them just because I'm curious, how did you find us? Oh, well, my dad, he went to Christ the King when he was a kid. And yeah, it'd be better if the guy had been coming to church all along, but you know what? Praise God that he had that seed planted in him so many years ago, and when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, he calls back the church that first gave him the faith. That they come back to the school where nuns and lay people and even clergy have taught for so many years. How many thousands of souls have benefited from our school? Peter asks a very good question, though, at the end of the gospel. And you don't, it's a little odd how he asks it. He says, we have given up everything to follow you. And Jesus, you can tell by Jesus' response what Peter was implying. Peter was implying, he was worried about this. Will my gift of self, will giving up everything be worth it in the future? Is it going to be worth it? I've given up everything to follow you, Jesus. You said that if I give up everything, I can get to eternal life. Jesus affirms him, saying, there's no one who's given up all these things who will not have eternal life and persecutions besides. I think sometimes we're tempted, like Peter, to ask the same question, aren't we? If I give something up, will it be worth it? Will God take care of me? And I guess I wonder, as I think about the many souls that have gone through the doors of Christ the King over the years, is it worth it? Now, many of you sitting here today, some of you were even around at the establishment of the parish. Many of you are around during previous generations. Was it worth it? I wonder, did they think when they were, you know, building this church in 1968, did they wonder, will it be worth it? It is to us, isn't it? They invested in a future generation that they couldn't even see yet. When we ask the question, is it worth it? What's the price of one human soul? Brothers and sisters, it is our responsibility and the responsibility of every person in this parish to not only take care of what we have, but to provide for future generations, just as past generations have provided for us today. And we must first do what is required of us, like the young man in the gospel today. Second, we are called to make a sacrificial gift, like the young man in the gospel today. And third, when we wonder if it will be worth it, like Peter did, Jesus affirms us and says, yes, it will be. Because we're not just investing in ourselves. We're investing in eternity. If St. Peter could have seen the Catholic Church and how big it would grow over 2,000 years, do you think he would have asked that question? We must trust that God will provide. 2 weeks ago, brothers and sisters, you should have received in the mail this newsletter. Very proud of our school council for putting this together. It's called The Sword and the Shield. It details in it our master plan, how we arrived at it, and what the three phases are of our future. It details the results, and if you didn't receive a copy, there are copies at all the exits today for you to take home with you. You'll also find in it this beautiful, if I don't say so myself, spread in the middle detailing our history as a parish. You'll see also in the back of church at the main entrance a giant poster we've made of that so you can reminisce about days of old. This coming week you will receive a letter from me in the mail talking to you specifically about some of the needs of phase one. Keep in mind we have already completed $750,000 worth of phase one over the last 5 years. But we do have some capital needs that will require some capital outlay. On this letter, brothers and sisters, I put a prayer on the back. And I'd ask that you, I kind of made it so you could, I was envisioning putting it on my own refrigerator and putting a magnet at the top. So there's a space at the top for the magnet. I should have put a little thing that says put magnet here, and put it on your refrigerator, and please pray that with me every day. Not for a dollar amount, not for a particular outcome, but just that God's will be done. You'll also be receiving in a separate mailing this week a packet which gives you a brochure about what we've accomplished so far in phase one and what we have to complete. It'll also include a donation card where you can make a 12-month commitment. And that's what we're asking you to do, is to make a 12-month sacrificial gift to the best of your ability to provide for these needs. Some of you will be able to offer more, some of you less. My commitment, which I started this month, is $100 per month. $100 per month over 12 months will fully fund the capital outlay that we need right now, which is about $750,000. This will provide for our heating and air needs. It will provide for our fire safety needs in our school. We have a large deficit there that we need to make up, a storage facility, and complete our classroom renovations. If this number seems pretty big to you, I have two words of encouragement to you. Number one, we have an almost $250,000 matching gift available to us. So guys, if you give $100 a month, we're going to get $200 per month. If you give $50 per month, we're going to get $100 per month. If you give $1,000 a month, we're going to get $2,000 a month. Up to $250,000. So for the price of $250,000, what do we get? $500,000. It's a huge blessing. So please take advantage of that. We are also asking our alumni. We have over 500 alumni outside this parish that aren't already parish members here. Some of you are alumni and still go here, and that's wonderful. But we have over 500 outside that, and we're going to be asking them for help too. This is very doable. And so what I ask you to do is to prayerfully consider what God is asking you to do. 65 years of stewards in this parish have supported us and given us what we have today. Just as we have been blessed through their sacrifices, please join me in blessing the next generation through our own sacrificial gifts.